From the Moan Broadcast Center at KPCC, this is The Frame. I'm John Horn, and thank you for joining us during our summer membership drive. Today, we're going to talk with Dan Reynolds, the frontman of the rock group Imagine Dragons, about his HBO documentary, Believer. The title is the name of one of the band's hit songs, but this movie isn't about music. You see, Reynolds is a Mormon, and over the past decade, he's become concerned about the rising suicide rate among LGBTQ teenagers who are Mormon. The church has condemned homosexuality as a sin and fought against marriage equality. Although he is straight, Reynolds saw the devastating effects of the church's intolerance on close LGBTQ friends. The film Believer, which premiered last night on HBO, follows Reynolds as he advocates that Latter-day Saints, LDS for short, should renounce their homophobia. His awareness of what LGBTQ Mormons endure began when the Imagine Dragons song It's Time was used in an episode of Glee. It figured in a scene where a male character sings it to his boyfriend.
I think that is what kind of gave us a launching board of a large LGBTQ following. It's really about embracing yourself and loving yourself. And so I think that's where it started. It's time to begin, isn't it? I get a little bit bigger, but then I'll admit I'm just the same as I was. Oh, don't you understand? I'm never changing who I am. I started to get tons of emails from fans who said, hey, I know you're Mormon, I'm gay, and feel conflicted about my sexuality, and I'm also, you know, from a religious household, so I'm very conflicted about that. So I just had to try to do something to change my broken culture and community that I was raised in.
Right after college, and I'm not in the church, I briefly went out with a woman who was LDS. She felt that the church didn't welcome dissent or questions. Is that an issue for you as well, that if you don't necessarily agree with the teaching of the church, they don't want to hear about your disagreement?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I remember hearing at a general conference, which is when the leaders speak to the members, that really kind of didn't sit well with me, is they said, before you doubt, you should doubt your doubts. I never liked that. And by the way, I still consider myself a unique Mormon. So I will say, when I was growing up, I mean, everything is viewed as anti-literature, that it speaks, you know, against something that the church teaches. And so you're warned to kind of stay away from that.
And I think it's ironic in that the church, especially in its early years, was targeted as outside the mainstream, including for its views on marriage and polygamy. I mean, Joseph Smith was essentially killed by a mob because of that. And that intolerance is largely why the church leaders, including Brigham Young, settled in Utah to escape that kind of persecution. Is that irony of the church now attacking marriage equality lost on its leaders, that this is a church that itself was attacked for its views on marriage?
One of the first hymns that I learned as a child in primary, which is like where all the children go to learn about God, was this song that goes, if you don't walk like most people do, some people walk away from you, but I won't. I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you. That's how I'll show my love for you. And so, you know, you're taught these principles since you're young, that if people are different than you, that's okay. And you should love them and accept them. And the problem is, these leaders are saying, well, we love our LGBTQ youth. We love you. There's a place for you. But however, you can't be gay because, well, then you're sinning. Which I would rather they shut the door and say, there's no place for you. Because then we're leading all these youth to believe that there's going to be a healthy life for them. But hey, here are your choices. Be celibate, or marry outside your sexual preference, a mixed orientation marriage, or lie about how you're living your life. All three absolutely lead to depression, anxiety, and suicidality. And then we ask, well, why is the suicide rate in Utah so high? Well, you know, I think it's pretty evident.
Well, one of the people you talk to in your film is John DeLynn. He's a Mormon, and he's a psychologist. Well, I guess we should say he was a Mormon, because he is a psychologist who has been working with LGBTQ youth, and he shares some pretty shocking statistics.
We've seen the suicide rates of youth between the ages of 15 and 19 double in the past 2 to 3 years and triple over the past 8 or 9 years since 2008. And so what's the cause? What happened in 2007, 2008? It was when the predominant religion within the state of Utah declares war on LGBT people.
But the fact that he's talking about that causes great conflict for him with his church leaders.
He gave a TED talk about how you can be a Mormon and be an ally.
I want to begin by making a point that you can literally save the lives of your LGBT brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, through love.
He definitely fought this fight like many more have before me. But sadly, he was excommunicated. Yeah.
There's also a young girl who is featured in your film, and she is witnessing, speaking to fellow parishioners about her life and herself, and her microphone, as soon as she says the words, lesbian, goes dead. They don't want to hear from her. They cut her off.
Yeah. So people who don't know that, once a month at the Mormon church, they open the microphone and anybody can walk up and kind of speak their testimony, their truth. So this young girl got up and she said, you know, I believe that God made me to have freckles and to be just the person that I am today. And he also made me to be gay.
And being around me won't make anyone else this way. I believe that God wants us to treat each other with kindness.
They pulled the plug and her microphone went off. And she, of course, you know, was devastated and cried and ran into her mom's arms. And I happened to meet her 2 days after that happened. She had just had that experience. And I happened to be in Utah and was interviewing kids who were going through, you know, being gay and Mormon. And like a week and a half, 2 weeks after that, it actually got picked up nationwide press on CNN and everything and was all over the place.
The name of the documentary is Believer, and that's also the name of a song that you co-wrote with Justin Tranter at an important point in your life. So let's listen to a little bit of Believer.
I was choking in the crowd, building my brain up in the cloud, falling like ashes to the ground, hoping my feelings, they would drown, but they never did, ever lived, ebbing and flowing, inhibited, limited, till it broke up and it rained down, it rained down like...
The whole reason I even started this documentary was because I'd met with my therapist and, I was diagnosed with depression many years ago. And one of the things that we were working on was me really having the courage to speak my truth, even if it offends some and even if it strains relationships with family, friends, fans, etc. And, the first line of the whole song is first things first. I'm going to say all the things, all the words inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been. And that's how I feel as a Mormon right now. What do? Do I just walk away from Mormonism and say, you know what, this is wrong, I'm out? But what good does that do? I know Mormons, I know our culture, and when people yell at us, we close our door, we don't listen. But if someone is yelling on the inside of the house, well, that's a different story.
Coming up, Dan Reynolds shares what he would say to Mormon missionaries.
KPCC supporters include Center Theater Group, presenting Stephen Karam's The Humans. This 2016 Tony Award winner for Best Play comes to the Amundsen featuring Tony-winning performances from the original Broadway cast. The Humans takes place over the course of Thanksgiving dinner. As darkness falls and things start to go bump in the night, the Blake family's fears and follies are laid bare with humor and compassion. The New York Times called The Humans the best play of the year, now playing through July 29th. More information at AmundsenTheater.org.
KPCC podcasts are supported by National Geographic's series One Strange Rock, hosted by Will Smith and executive produced by Darren Aronofsky and Newtopia. An elite ensemble of astronauts tells the unexpected and unprecedented story of Earth, filmed across 900,000 plus miles, 45 countries, 6 continents, and outer space. Emmy eligible in all categories. Visit natgeotv.com/FYC for more information. Don't just consider. Explore.
Now let's continue my conversation with Imagine Dragons lead singer Dan Reynolds. He is the executive producer of and central figure in the new film Believer. The documentary advocates for LGBTQ rights within his Mormon community. At times, the Mormon Church has been known to alter its doctrine. In 1890, it banned polygamy, and in 1978, it reversed years of institutional racism to allow African Americans to become priests. So I asked Dan Reynolds, could it do it again when it comes to LGBTQ rights?
If there's any church that is primed and ready to do something like this, it is the Mormon Church. They believe in modern-day revelation, so they believe there's a prophet today that speaks to God who's alive, and that God kind of speaks to the times. So, for instance, when the church was practicing polygamy, and then there was started to be political pressures and people's members saying, hey, I don't know if we're cool with this. Then what happened? Well, the prophet prayed, and then God said, hey, no more polygamy. And then during the civil rights movement, when this nation started to say, hey, you know, this isn't cool, and everybody should have equality, and, you know, the prophet prayed, and God said, hey, all races should have the priesthood. So now here we are, where the nation is saying, hey, to be LGBTQ should be celebrated. In fact, it shouldn't even be a thing. Well, it's starting to happen in the culture of the members. And so my goal is to stoke that fire so that enough of the members are saying, you know what, we're not cool with this, so that it gets to a point where the prophet goes and he prays about it.
What would you say are the most obvious advantages and the most obvious disadvantages of telling this story as a straight white guy?
You know, I think... obviously, I'm about as privileged as it gets. I'm white, I'm heterosexual, and I'm a rock star. So I want to do everything I can to take that privilege and to use it to hopefully perpetuate change. And I think that it's important for straight allies to turn to their other straight friends who are all Mormon and say, hey, guys, like, this is a change that has come about me, and this is the way that I got there, and let's talk about it.
Last night, and I'm not making this up, there were four kids tracting on my street. And for people who don't know what tracting is, that's when Mormon kids go out on a mission and knock on doors. And had my timing been a little different, they would have been knocking on my door in 5 minutes as I was leaving my house.
Oh, man.
What would you have said to them if they had knocked on your door and maybe you don't reveal that you're in the church? How would you want to engage kids who are off on a mission for the church and get them to think differently about how the church does see LGBTQ people?
I'm glad you asked that, because I served a Mormon mission for 2 years. So I tracked it in Omaha, Nebraska, and knocked thousands of doors and was that guy. And because I actually asked some missionaries the other day who did not know who I was this exact question, because I was curious what they're teaching now. So I said to them, I said, so what's the church's stance on being gay? And it was two sister missionaries in Salt Lake City by the church headquarters. So those are where, like, the best missionaries are. And the sisters are always better than, like, the elders, because they're more eloquent and they're older and they're just better. And so these women said, well, you know, God gives us all different challenges in life. Some people are alcoholics. Some people are drug addicts. Some people are addicted to pornography. And some people have to struggle with the attraction to the same sex. There it is. That's the teaching. And so you tell me how damaging you think that is to our youth, to tell them, hey, your innate sense of being that's beautiful, that's unchangeable, that should be celebrated. In fact, it's similar to alcoholism. It's just devastating. I would hope that for now, when someone asks you that, you just say, I don't know. You know, I don't know, but can I tell you about, like, giving the shirt off your back to your neighbor? You know what I mean? Like, just share something else for now until this resolves, until you can find in your heart the true answer, which is that, man, if there's any God that I want to spend time with, it's a God that absolutely welcomes all into heaven.
Let me ask you this last question. There is somebody who is close to you in this story, and that is Tyler Glenn, who used to be in the church. He is in the band Neon Trees. I want to listen to a song of his. It's called Midnight. It's from his album, Excommunication.
Oh, I love this song.
God, I can never be like you. I can't change, and I don't want to. I've been on the run, so I'm not coming Sunday.
It's a really powerful song. What is Tyler Glenn singing about here, and how is he aligned with what you're trying to do?
I love him to death. He's one of my best friends. We've gotten so close through this whole process. And I mean, so in the song, basically what I perceive it to say, and he could probably speak to it better than me, is there is no place for him here. There is no place for him at the table. Tyler wanted to be more of a Mormon than me. He wanted to be the most Mormon of all Mormons. You know what I mean? Tyler wasn't kicked out of college. Tyler fought for 30 years to conform in the way that the church asked him to, until he finally said, you know what? This is really ruining my life. He had suicidality that he was dealing with. And so basically, I think he's saying, you know what, God, I can't be like you according to what I'm being taught you are. So I'm not going to be there. There's no place for me in the Mormon church, but you know what? Still, you know, it ends and it says, and I'll probably talk to you at midnight. And that's because the clause of Orthodox religion, and I hate to use that term because it sounds pretty harsh, but I don't know what else to use. When you're raised that way, no matter what you do, you're always going to be Mormon. It's always going to be a part of your culture, your heart. You were raised with it. You preached it on a mission every day. You know what I mean? So you can't run away from it. So it's still there. And he's destined to live with that. And so I think he's trying to find the safest place for him where he can live his full life and be healthy. And sadly, that there's not a place for him in the church for that. And honestly, I don't see a place for that in the church. But the problem is you can't just say to the youth, hey, guys, you should all leave the religion, which I know so many people will say, well, Dan, why don't you just tell these kids to leave the religion? And you should leave the religion to make a point. First of all, that's really uneducated because you're actually putting the kid in a less safe position. They may get kicked out of their homes for that. On top of it, they may really believe in what they're doing. And then you're taking that foundation away from them. It could really shake them up to go through a faith crisis while also dealing with not loving themselves and not letting themselves love in the way that they are destined to love. And so it's not safe. So what can you do? Well, you can try to make it safer for them while they're there. And then maybe when they're old enough and they feel like in a safe zone to be able to leave it, and well, then that's their choice, and only they know. We can't speak for them and tell them when is the time for them to leave or if they should or not.
Dan Reynolds, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Believer is currently on HBO, and that is our program for today. I'm John Horn. Thanks for listening, and thank you for supporting KPCC during our summer membership drive.
One heart, let the world revolve.